Well, we are so glad that you're here at CCV. Welcome for this final installment of Wind and Fire. If you haven't been here, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I thought it would be good just to kind of mental map where we've been the last 4 weeks so we're all on the same page. We started talking about how the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it, it's not a thing, it's not the force of Star Wars. I actually hear a lot of people talk about the Holy Spirit as an it. Can you imagine talking about a person as an it? Just try this experiment. Go home today and refer to your spouse as it. Like, it's in the kitchen doing dishes. That won't go well for you. So the Spirit is a person, and we don't want you to know about the Spirit. We want you to get to know the Spirit. That's why week two, we talked about the promises. Jesus himself promised, John 14, 15, 16, this Holy Spirit is coming. And the way that Jesus described it was just so engaging, that the Spirit would be a comforter, a counselor. That word could also be translated, I like this actually, as coach. And if you learn to hear the voice of your coach, the Holy Spirit, you'll have game. And I love this series because we're hearing story after story of a person going, I just thought that was kind of like a prompting, but now I realize that's the voice of the Spirit prompting me to do something. And so many of you are sharing your stories of how you're actually doing what the Spirit is prompting you to do. And the third week was the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you put your faith in Jesus, he puts his Spirit in you, and that presence gives you confidence and boldness. Confidence that you are a child of God, and boldness with those who try to take you away from God. The power of the Holy Spirit is amazing. None of these matter, however. It doesn't matter if you have a person of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you don't experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you love to have the power of God moving through you, to kind of coach you through life to reach your fullest potential? We got to be careful, though, when we talk about the power of God, because a lot of people are like enamored. Yeah, I want the power of God. Yeah, I want to be able to do miracles and healings. I want to be able to cast out demons. Yeah, yes, sir. I want the power. Okay, I get it. I'm as selfish as anyone. I want the power of God for me. But I think this is the wrong question. What can the Spirit do for you? Will he do things for you? Absolutely. But that's not really what God has intended for us. Yes, God wants to do things for us, but more importantly, he wants to do things through us. What can the power of the Spirit do through you? And so here's our core verse. We're going to land on this today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for what? You will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, that's where they were. In Judea and Samaria, that was the region around. And to the ends of the earth. Here, near, far. The Holy Spirit wants to use you to reach this world for Jesus Christ. And if you don't know, that is the vision of our church, to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. We will never accomplish that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, even Jesus, this is kind of surprising, even Jesus accomplished virtually nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Right, you want me to prove it? Let's just tick off some of the high points of Jesus' career. When he was baptized, guess who showed up? Holy Spirit. Immediately, he went into the wilderness to be tempted. And you know who led him there? It was the Holy Spirit. From the wilderness, he goes back to Galilee to begin his ministry. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. And what did he do? He would preach sermons. This is the opening sentence of the opening sermon of Jesus in his hometown synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." He would also do miracles. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did virtually nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived in Mary's womb by the power of the Spirit. He was raised from Pilate's tomb by the power of the Holy Spirit from the beginning to the end of his ministry. And if that's true for Jesus, don't you think it will be true for you? I know for me, I can't do anything of substance without the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is, at least for me, maybe not for you, for me, as I've looked at the Holy Spirit, I've read and listened to preachers, people have made it so complicated. Like there's all these, now granted, the Holy Spirit is mysterious, but it doesn't have to be complicated. So let's just simplify this. I thought, you know what we really need? You know those yellow books for dummies? Smartphones for dummies? What if we had a Holy Spirit for dummies? Like, I would buy that book. I checked on Amazon, they don't have it. And if it's not on Amazon, it doesn't exist. So I'm gonna give you a starter kit, the ABCs of the Holy Spirit. Now, I promise you, I didn't do that on purpose. I literally wrote the outline for this message, and then I noticed point one began with an A, second point began with a B, third point began with a C. So you know it's the Lord. Here we go, ABCs of the Holy Spirit. He gives you abilities. Now, you've probably heard them as spiritual gifts, but the Holy Spirit distributes abilities throughout the whole church. Now, what's so cool is, because I only have my abilities, I don't have your abilities, I need you and you need me, and together we make up the body of Christ. Paul describes it in Romans, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, I want to talk about the different gifts and then the grace given. There are actually 14 gifts identified in the New Testament. The problem is it's in three separate lists, and none of the lists are the same. So there's different gifts mentioned in Romans and in Ephesians and in 1 Corinthians. So a lot of preachers have just put all the lists together and said, here's all the lists of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's 14 of them. And then they'll give you a test, like the Enneagram test, and you can discover what your gift is. But what if your gift isn't on the list? Because none of the lists are complete. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that music is a spiritual gift? Oh, yeah, it's a spiritual gift. It's not on any list. What about counseling? Is counseling a spiritual gift? Oh, yeah, not on any list. But what about humor? I think I'm hilarious. If you disagree with me, keep it to yourself. If you agree with me, find my wife and let her know. She needs to know how funny I am. It's not on any list. So how do you find your gift if it's not on any list? You ready? Let's not make it complicated. I'm gonna simplify it. In 15 seconds, I can tell you how to find your spiritual gift. You ready? Walk into a room. Just look around. See what needs to be done that you could do with excellence and want to do for others. That's your spiritual gift. So I was teaching this in Corinth Christian Church in Loganville, Georgia. It was one of those classic Southern churches, white steeple, wooden pews. It was an evening session. We're coaching on discipleship. About 150 adults in the room, stained glass to one side of the church. And there was a woman on the aisle, sitting in about the fourth row back. She had matched her belt, her purse, and her shoes. And so I just took a guess. And I said to her, I'm gonna guess that you have the gift of interior design. And it was like I was Kreskin the magician. She's like, how did you know? It's the Holy Spirit. So I said, tell me, when you walk into this room, what do you see that no one else sees that you could fix with excellence and want to for others? And the whole room's like E.F. Hutton, you know, just listening. And she goes, well, every time I walk in here, I see the beautiful stained glass windows. But the casing around the windows, the paint is all chipped. It was hilarious. Every person in the room just went, wah, looked right at the window, and now it bothered everybody. And she said, but I don't have permission to repaint. And one of the elders piped up and said, you don't need permission. If you have the ability and see the need and can do it with excellence for others, go for it. And I want to tell you, church, CCV, whatever campus you're on right now, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, that is your preparation, that is your permission. Do what the Spirit is prompting you to do. And this whole series is about being more sensitive to think more carefully about the spiritual gifts and the calling that the Spirit's given you. Now, I realize there's somebody on some campus right now going, wait a minute, interior design, that's not a spiritual gift. Oh, yes, it is. Well, prove it from the Bible, all right. The first person ever to be identified as a spiritually gifted person, do you know his name? I wouldn't expect you to. This is deep dive stuff. His name is Bezalel. He was a dude in the Old Testament, way back in the days of Moses. And the Bible says the Spirit gave him the gift to work with wood, with metal, with fabric, with colors, with architecture and design. Bezalel created and architected the tabernacle of God that housed the Ark of the Covenant. I would say that's spiritual. And if he were alive today, I promise you, Bezalel would be on Pinterest. I could just sense it. There's some people like nudging your husband right now. See, I told you so. It's spiritual. There's a lot of spiritual gifts that don't make the list. Are you using yours? And again, I can sense somebody saying, well, wait a minute. I was good at interior design before I joined the church. I had the gift of generosity before I ever got in the baptistry. I had the gift of leadership long before giving my life to Christ. So how is it that a natural ability is somehow a spiritual gift? Let me answer that question. Again, I want to make this simple. Spiritual gifts become spiritual not when God gives them to us, but when we offer them to others. Now, I recognize that there are some spiritual gifts that are given miraculously after your conversion. Maybe a gift of prophecy or a gift of healing or a gift of exorcism. I get that. But the vast majority of gifts that I've observed, certainly true of me, probably true of you, are natural abilities that become spiritual gifts, not when God gives them to you, but when you give them away. And so if we go back to Romans 12, we'll notice that grace is given to each of us, and we think, well, grace is given to us. God gave me a gift for me. No. Anytime grace is given, it's always to be given away. And if God gave you a gift, it's not because he likes you. It's because he likes someone else. And the purpose of every spiritual gift is to offer it to someone else. There's one last thing I want to say about abilities before we move on to point B. If the Holy Spirit will give you an ability, he's also going to give you an opportunity. He is going to create a place and a space for you to exercise your spiritual gift. And if you go into the book of Acts, if you're new to the Bible, Acts is a historical document from 30 to 60 AD that describes the founding of the church. In that book, there are four different times that the Spirit miraculously moves someone to exactly the right place at exactly the right time to meet exactly the right person. Case in point, a young guy by the name of Philip. He flees the persecution in Jerusalem, winds up in a city of Samaria. But he just can't keep his mouth shut. He keeps talking about Jesus, and that created a crowd, and that created a controversy, and that created a power encounter, and God showed up. It was like a legitimate revival, miracles and all. And in the middle of this ministry, God says, Philip, I need you to leave Samaria. Now, had it been me, I'd be like, God, don't you realize, like, I'm kind of a big deal here. There's the big crowds and things are happening and I'm in the middle of it and you're using me, so don't send me away. But Philip says, where do you need me to go? Well, I want you to go to the road that leads down to Gaza. Wait a minute, like the Gaza Strip? Yeah, that road. It's a deserted road. There's almost no one on that road. And Philip goes. And wouldn't you know, he intersects at precisely the right time with an entourage that was going back to Ethiopia. It wasn't a big entourage, just a few people, but they were carrying one guy. And the one guy, turns out he was the finance minister of the entire nation of Ethiopia. Big deal. Been worshiping in Jerusalem, and at that exact moment, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. precisely in chapter 53, which is one of the greatest prophecies of Jesus. And Philip is like running alongside the chariot, and the guy goes, you want to come up here and explain this to me? I'd love to. So he talks about Jesus through Isaiah, and he gets to baptism, and they run, exact moment, they run by a pool, and the eunuch says, I'm not a Jew, I'm a convert, but could I get baptized? Absolutely. So they baptize him right then and there. It was the exact right person at the exact right place in the exact right scripture at the exact right time next to a pool of water. The Holy Spirit orchestrates these meetings, and he's doing it again and again and again. 2 weeks ago, I was just sitting out front of one of our campuses having an apple fritter and a cup of coffee. It's my jam on Sunday morning. And a woman comes up, and we just start chatting, and she starts telling me that her marriage is struggling. And she asked me, do you know anyone who does like marriage coaching? At that exact moment, I kid you not, at that exact moment, a couple walks up. They had struggled early on in their marriage, and they figured some things out, and so it's not how they make their living, but it's how they do their ministry. They help couples improve their marriage. And I said, actually, this couple right here, and I introduced them. And you know what's strange about that? That couple doesn't usually go to that campus. But on a whim, that morning, they got up and said, let's go visit another campus. And at the exact right time, last week, again, I'm visiting with a first-time guest. They'd never been to CCV before. And they said, do you know of a neighborhood group? And he described the profile of a group he needed. At that exact moment, a man walked up just to talk to me about something completely different. I said, hey, John, do you have a neighborhood group? He goes, yeah, we just started one. There's only two couples in it. We're looking for someone else. If you have your eyes open and your ears open, that's not coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit combining your ability with an opportunity. But in order for you to leverage the opportunity, you're going to need boldness. And if I were just to be transparent, I am way more bold on stage than I am in a living room, or at a coffee shop, or in a bank. Like, I have the same insecurities as any of you do about sharing my faith. What if someone asks me a question I can't answer? I think about that. What if somebody in my family sees an inconsistency in how I live my life and how I talk about Jesus? What if they reject me, or what if I turn somebody off? I have the same questions as you. And sometimes we think, Holy Spirit, if you would just give us boldness, then we would take advantage of the opportunity. It doesn't work like that. It's the other way around. When you step out in faith, then the Holy Spirit will give you the boldness and give you the words. Can I tell you a story? I love this story, and frankly, I need it. Acts chapter 3, 4, and 5. Peter and John are going up to the temple of God. It's the hour of prayer, so they're just going to pray. And right in front of them was a beggar. Now, he's a beggar because he was lame. He couldn't get a job. 38 years old, had never walked in his life. Laid there with a tin cup asking for alms. Have you ever been at a stoplight and if you want to give the person there something, you look at them, you make eye contact with them? If you don't, suddenly you need to change the radio station or something, you know. Don't make eye contact. Peter makes eye contact. Specific word means he stared at the guy, just stared at the guy. So the guy's thinking, good day. And Peter goes, I don't have silver, I don't have gold. Why are you staring at me then? to stare at a person with disability if you don't have anything to offer, that's just rude. And Peter says, I tell you what, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but what I have, I'm gonna give you. And he grabs the guy's hand without permission, just starts to pull him up from the ground. Now, this guy knows how it's going to end because his legs have never worked in his life. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be embarrassing. It's a slow motion moment. The guy comes off the ground thinking, I'm going to sue you. But when he landed, Luke, who tells the story, he's a medical doctor, uses a medical term, that the bones of his ankles were strengthened. You should have been there. It was an amazing moment. He lands there and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa! He's all kind of excited. I love how it's described here. His ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple. He had never been in the temple before. People with disabilities weren't allowed. He went into the temple walking and jumping and praising God. Walking and jumping and praising God. Lame man turned Tigger. Bouncy, 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 bouncy. And everyone's looking at him going, I think that's the lame guy that's always at the gate. And he finally stops. He's with Peter and John. And Peter and John preach about Jesus. And everybody is flabbergasted. Except for the religious leaders. They are furious. Because they're the ones that crucified Jesus. And the people are being healed in the name of Jesus. It doesn't make them look good. You know what they did? You're not going to believe this. They arrested Peter, John, and the lame guy. Like, what did the lame guy do? Well, maybe jaywalking, I don't know. But he is innocent. They get thrown in jail overnight. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law meet in Jerusalem. What are we going to do about this? We got a problem. Because crowds are coming to Jesus because people are getting healed in his name. And he begins to name drop. Annas, the high priest, was there. Ooh, Annas. And so was Caiaphas. Ooh, Caiaphas. And John and Alexander. Ooh, we don't even know who they are today, but they were a big deal back then. And the others of the high priest family, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power and what name did you do this? Like they had done something wrong. They healed a lame guy. I would think everybody would be jazzed about that. But no, they're upset. And Peter, and you got to understand, Peter is a fisherman. He's a country bumpkin standing before the Supreme Court of Israel. And it says in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you're going to love this. If we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Drop the mic. You gotta be kidding me. That's coming from a guy that fumbled over his words more than he was successful. You know it's not Peter. This is the Holy Spirit. And then he goes and quotes a passage of scripture that Jesus earlier had quoted to these same leaders about himself. Listen, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Boom. And these leaders are stunned. What do you do with a guy like that? And they notice, and I hope this could be said of you too. They noticed when they saw the courage of Peter and John, realized that they were unschooled. You want to learn a Greek word today? I'm not kidding. I'm not making this. This is literally the Greek word behind unschooled. I think you'll know what it means. Idiotes. How are these bumpkins, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given you both the ability and the opportunity, but it's up to you to step out in faith. And when you do, not before, when you do, the Holy Spirit will give you everything you need in that moment, including the right words. That's a promise. Jesus made that promise years earlier when they arrest you. Do not worry about what you say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I actually had this exact thing happen to me a number of years ago. I'd been asked to teach through Revelation to a small church in Georgia. probably about 50 people in the room. The stage was maybe a foot off the ground, and so I had been speaking for a couple of nights, and there was about the third row in, there was a young woman, about 16 years old, and for some reason, I just felt prompted to talk to her. I literally stepped off the stage, and for 3 minutes, I taught just her about Revelation 14. It is talk about the dragon, the beast, and the harlot. I said, you know, the beast, he will promise you all kinds of power. Don't believe it, because that beast will lie to you every time. And when you give your allegiance to the devil, he will deceive you and destroy you. That is his goal. When the service was over, that young girl, she was a little bit upset with her youth pastor. There's a woman sitting right next to her, and she goes, you told him. She goes, honey, I didn't say a word to him. You have any questions for me? What had happened? That was a Friday night. On Wednesday night, she came to youth group and told all her youth group, I won't be back anymore because I have some friends who are Satan worshipers and they have offered me power. I virtually quoted her, but I had no clue what had happened. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you the exact words at the exact time with the exact right person. That girl that night got baptized and is today still a follower of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit shows up, it is amazing to watch. But our greatest hindrance is not the Holy Spirit's ability, but our availability. Will you? I sense that some of you right now, you have a prompting of God. You know what the Holy Spirit's calling you to do. You know the conversation the Holy Spirit is asking you to have. The problem is not with the Spirit's ability that he's given to you. It's with your availability. Are you giving it back to him? And the hardest thing, I think, for any of us to give to the Holy Spirit is communication. This is C. He wants you to speak out for him. Again, I'm way more bold on stage than I am in a living room. So I get this. I get the challenge of it. But when the Holy Spirit calls you to speak, you are fulfilling the vision of this church. Our vision is to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. I promise you, that will not happen from this stage. It's not going to happen because angels start going through Phoenix and preaching to people. It's when you, and you, and you take the opportunity to put in a good word for Jesus, just to brag about him, to make him famous at work, at school, in your living room, around your kitchen table. And you may not feel qualified, but the Holy Spirit qualifies you simply by being with you. This is an ancient prophecy from Joel. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. That includes you. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. The Holy Spirit is providing you everything you need. And I've loved the stories about people responding to promptings. We need more of those stories, because if you have a prompting, you are prepared. You don't need another class. You don't need another training. You don't need more time. You need to exercise the gift that the Spirit has given to you already to create an opportunity to put a good word in for Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Well, here's our takeaway. It's pretty simple. Put yourself in front of the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, you might recall 3 weeks ago, Ashley kicked off this series describing the Spirit. And the word for Spirit, both in Hebrew of the Old Testament, Greek of the New Testament, that word is wind. And he brought out a sailboat, if you'll recall. And so what does a sailboat need to move? All it needs is wind in its sails. You can have the best looking boat, but if you don't have wind in the sails, it's not going anywhere. And the Spirit has put in your hand his gifts. But it doesn't matter what abilities you have. If you don't step in front of the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen. But the minute you take what he's put in your hands and just open your hand in front of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, the Spirit begins to do things that are pretty noticeable, pretty extraordinary, right in your midst, simply because you open your hand and let His gifts be a benefit to someone you care about. So how do you create such an opportunity? Again, I want to make this super practical and super simple. I'm going to actually give you two texts. And you might want to pull out your phone and take a picture of one of the texts. Maybe one of these is something that you want to send to someone to create an opportunity. The first text is this. Hey, there's something really good that's happened to me, and I'd like to share it with you. Who would not respond to that text? And some of you, 349 on all of our campuses have been baptized in the last 2 weeks. This could be your text. It could be a lot of others as well, but this could be your text to simply say, God is doing something, and I want to share with you what God is doing in my life. For others of you, you were around a Thanksgiving table. There was a conversation that you knew you should have. You were prompted to have it, but you missed the opportunity. Recreate it, because you're likely going to see those same people again at Christmas. And here's a text that maybe you could send. When you come over, I would love to connect with you for a few minutes. I want to share with you some recent changes in my life. Again, who would not want to respond to that text? For all of us, Christmas is coming. And that means we are in high gear around here preparing for our Christmas Eve services, 100 on all of our campuses. It's going to be an exciting time, and I promise you, Jesus will be exalted in our Christmas Eve service. And it's strange. It is the easiest invite for the whole year because people are open to an invite to Christmas more than any other service of the year. Are you bold enough to get in front of the wind and just let Him carry you into an opportunity to make Jesus famous? It could be as easy as picking up the card that was on your chair when you came in. There's a couple of them there. Actually, some of you may not got a card. You know why? We're running out of them. There's so many people taking stacks to the bank and the grocery store and their neighborhood. Good for you. But you don't even need a card. You can use the app and send a text invite to someone. Or here's an idea. Why don't you just walk up to someone that you know and say, I would love to share with you a gift of a Christmas Eve service. Would you come with me and my family to this service, and Jesus will be exalted, and that will create an opportunity for you to communicate what God is doing in your life. Holy Spirit, we know that you are present here. And I want to call on you right now to prompt us, every single one of us who call on the name of Jesus. Would you prompt us for our next step in Jesus Christ to use our gifts to create an opportunity, to create a conversation that would exalt our Lord Jesus Christ? And we know that you will say yes to this prayer. And with gratitude, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see y'all next week for our new series, More Than Us.